Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Really long. Really, you've been playing Castlevania for how many weeks?
Oh my god, for so long.
8 weeks?
For so long. Welcome, children of Chatterbox.
And there you mention.
This is a full house today. Colin, oh god, I have to have a good nickname for you, especially since you might be leaving. Like, Colin the Destroyer. The Destroyer of XML.
Oh yeah.
If you've been trying to listen to our show in, you know, reasonable time frames, that didn't happen because Colin doesn't know how to put zeros in front of numbers.
Am I actually on the air?
I think so.
Okay, because I can't hear myself.
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay, good.
So, anyway, I will apologize on his behalf because I fear he may screw up the apology as well as he does the XML. It's my fault. Let's find a way to blame it on me. And that way is that I still have archaic methods of updating our XML file.
It was pretty convoluted. I had no idea what I was doing. I never learned XML before.
No, it's not like we had created an instruction sheet that would like tell you step by step how to do that sort of thing.
Besides the instruction sheet.
Oh wait,
it
we
was
did
fine.
Have an instruction sheet, didn't we?
I would like to thank
step by step.
I would like to thank the person that sent the email showing the correct steps on how to do it. It's my fault entirely.
The email that you didn't read that
I read half of it, and I did the part that you didn't fix. It's been a busy week.
Sure, busy.
It's fixed now, right?
Just moved, doing all this other stuff.
I actually tested it, yes.
Totally fixed.
Yes.
I checked it before
and
we
you know
came,
what the fix
works.
Was? It was a single character. One byte, a zero.
So I only messed up a little bit. Just a little bit.
You know what? That reminds me, one time long ago when I was in college in computer science, and my TA spoke exactly like Stephen Hawking, but he was Chinese. We were looking at...
Did he speak like Stephen Hawking or like Stephen Hawking's machine?
Yes, that's one.
Stephen Hawking doesn't do
that's
all this
one.
Talking.
No, Steve, no. The machine, obviously. Okay. Which, I don't know. He must have learned how to speak English.
From Stephen Hawking
lectures. But anyway.
Speeches.
We were like looking at some code written on the board, right? And it wasn't really a whole lot of stuff there. And because it was like the student brought it up, like, this isn't compiling. This doesn't work. I can't figure out why this isn't working, right? And like the TA's there trying to figure it out. And then I'm like looking at it, and I'm like, isn't there supposed to be a semicolon there? And then everyone like looked for a second, they're like, yeah, there is supposed to be a semicolon.
Dude, the most common programming problem ever is a missing semicolon.
You have no idea.
Yeah, right? We all know that. So like I said, this is a full house. We've got Colin. We've also got Mr. Adam Birch.
Hello.
Right on. I met you at Ignite Phoenix 7.
Yeah.
Right? And I said, hey, I do this show. And you're like, oh, I know that show.
Yeah, I know Ara. I am aware of him. We have encountered before in the field.
Yeah, we've dueled.
All right, we are going to have you record something for us because your voice is so spectacular.
Yeah.
It's sultry.
That I don't know what... There was actually a time I had someone record something for the Chatterbox show way early in his history. I don't know if we have any listeners from that way back.
Yeah.
But there was this kid who was going to UAT when I was going to UAT, and he got into a car accident. A terrible, terrible car accident that like should have killed him and somehow didn't kill him, but it somehow did something to his windpipe.
Did he gain a superpower?
No, he did. Temporarily, for a couple months, he had this incredible, like low, like breathy sort of voice.
Yeah.
And didn't need a car accident for that. That's natural.
I'm glad that man's tragic accident worked to your benefit.
Well, he was okay, but it was one of those things where like probably, you know, an inch to the left, inch to the right, he would have been dead.
Yeah,
forever.
I knew you had a deep voice, Adam, but now that it's coming over the radio and into my ears, like I'm really scared every time you laugh.
Oh man, dude, when I listen to myself, like even on the Ignite video, when I listened to myself, I was like, wow, my voice is deep. Man.
Yeah, you should. I think you have a career in some voice work.
You know what we should do? We should actually. Do you have a copy of the Ignite? Obviously, you mentioned the video.
Yeah, I think we have a YouTube on it right here.
We should just play the audio as part of our show. And I don't know if we want to do that today, but
for
we should
now,
just play it.
Because
it's totally video game related. It was about Shadow of Colossus.
Yeah, yeah.
Which,
you know that guy? You know the Right Now commercial?
No.
There's this like commercial with this fake, I forget what it's about, but there's this fake family called the Right Nows. And there's this guy with like, this really tall guy. He kind of looks like you. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
He kind of looks like you, and he's got like these like really flared like eyebrows, and it's just totally comical. And every time I see it, I think of you for some reason.
Well, thank you. Comical and equals Alon.
But not just for the fact that he kind of looks like you, also because like the whole premise of the commercial is this guy's like coming. I think it's like Netflix or something. This guy's like coming up to the door, and then the door opens up. This guy's like all like wide eyed, everything. And he's like, "Hey, I have some prenup riddle. You want to watch a movie right now?
Right now!"
Yeah, and then so yeah. Like that's like totally you, dude.
You know what else I should remind you of? I just discovered today through the magic of YouTube that I apparently have the same haircut as Rick Springfield in one of his like crazy ass video, "Human Touch." Have you heard this song? It's a horrible song.
I don't know if I'd admit to it.
YouTube. It's like all about I don't know, like space aliens or something.
That's cool.
Weird. And my coworker was like, "Oh, hey, you totally have that haircut."
Oh my god. It really is him.
Right?
We'll get this pulled up. Don't worry.
867-5309. That's
I personally thought of you more as like a young Harold Ramis.
Yeah. People that's the most common distinction is me and the live action Ghostbusters Egon.
Yep.
Definitely. So I don't actually know if 867-5309 is a Rick Springfield song, but
no,
that's two tones, right?
I think of Rick Springfield when I hear that.
Check this out, look at him.
Right?
Beautiful.
It's can I see too?
Well, how do you get all the way over
right?
there?
That's totally
the other side of the table now.
I don't know.
Right?
I think Rick's hair is like a little too thin compared to
Alon's. You put some product in Alon's hair, it looks just like that.
Right, I agree. So anyway, as you mentioned at the top of the show, did we mention at the top of the show or just before? The Castlevania thing.
We haven't even talked about that yet.
I've mentioned it barely.
I was a little bit I say late to the studio today, but I mean, I got here before the show started.
Because
so.
You were playing Castlevania?
No, because I was writing about playing Castlevania.
I see.
So because we have this side project called the Golgatron,
yep.
Which Colin has become a part of as well.
Whoop, whoop.
So Corey, who's sort of taken the reins of giving direction for Golgatron, has advised that we need to do reviews. And I don't really do reviews much. We don't do reviews here, but I figured I got a hold of Castlevania Harmony of Despair a little bit early, and I guess it comes out tomorrow, like officially.
Unless it means.
Which is weird, by the way, because you can already go into Xbox Live Arcade and you can download elements of it, like, I don't know, like a background or something. So I thought it was available. Like, I got the code last week, but I didn't actually put it into Xbox Live until, like, Sunday. And I thought, oh, well, it must be available now, right? So I go onto Twitter. I'm like, hey, anybody want to play multiplayer? And nobody responds. And,
yeah, it's kind of like half there because I know that one of my other press friends, I have him on my list, right? And then I logged on like last week and I see him playing the game. I'm like, how'd you get that? Yeah, so it's like it's there.
It's very easy. I just asked for it.
Well, yeah, it's there. It's just, you know, it's just not accessible yet for most people.
Anyway, so the beautiful part here is I checked the leaderboards just to see, like, how many people are playing, and there were 100 registered player, which should be players, but there's a typo in the game. 100 registered player.
That's a little Japless.
Right?
A winner is you.
Yeah. So I was like, well, if I, without trying, was number 21 in this leaderboard, I may be able to get to number one.
This may be your true calling.
On this leaderboard. So I played Chapter 1 of Castlevania Harmony of Despair many, many times. And I watched the replay videos, because you can watch replay videos of the top 10. And I got all the way up to number 2. That jackass Das Alucard, that's the Xbox Live player's name, Das Alucard,
clearly,
using Alucard.
Clearly German.
You can't be that guy.
He was using Alucard. He's got to be like a developer or something. Or that he... He made
no, he bought the 360 just for that game.
Right? He must have. And so I'm number 2, and he was beating me by like less than 1,000 points, by like 940-some points, and we're talking on the order of 50,000 points. So by something like 2%, he was beating me by, and I pushed it up to number 2. He's beating me by that much, and then I checked it yesterday, and I was already like number 3. But I was smart enough to snap a picture.
That's the crazy thing about these online leaderboards. If you ever play a game regularly and you feel like you're actually in competition for like ranking there, it's like the people who are really, really high up on the list, right? Those people have been playing for so long.
Every minute of every day.
And every minute of every day. Because if you stop playing for even a moment, there's like a ton of people barging ahead of you because they're playing when you're not playing.
Yeah,
I used to be one of those guys.
It's crazy.
Now, the beauty here is that there's essentially a ceiling because your score is made up of a few different components. One is like items that you've collected. You get probably 100 points for each one or something like that. There's a kill score, so how many people you killed, and then a bonus for time, and the time is very finite. You get 25 minutes on this level. I don't know if there's different time frames for other levels, but so the ceiling is going to be just about 50,000 because even the number one player had 49,900 something.
Right.
And, he did a pretty good playthrough, like fairly perfect. By the way, Alucard can get this one weapon, and I don't know if other people can use this weapon. It's one weapon that is just ridiculous. Like, there's the problem with this game allows you to use like five or six different characters. Okay. You can choose which one you want to play, just like Castlevania 3 had three different characters.
Like, you switch between them while you're playing?
No, you pick which one you want to use.
Okay, because like,
and three? Then each one of them levels up independently. So you could play one guy and get really good with him, right, and then use one of the girls, and she'll have no experience points, so she won't be as good. So Alucard starts with this one sword that's just really slow on the draw. You press the button, it takes a second for it to come out and actually attack something. And so I didn't like him very much. But then I watched this Das Alucard guy and his number one video, and he's got this sword that the instant, like, it's just instantaneous. And it's one of those things where it's supposed to simulate him, like, thrashing the sword about five different ways. You press it once, and it's just like this cloud of sword burst, and it will just kill anything. Now, of course, he's an experienced player, so he's, each attack is like 50 points, and it takes 5 points to kill a zombie. But, he's just flipping through everything. And for me, it still takes a couple hits with my character, even though I'm pretty experienced. If I want to kill the skeleton, right?
Oh, that sounds kind of lame, though, because you're automatically at a disadvantage if you don't have the
I could play through as much as he has. He probably also played through all six chapters of the game and got all the stuff. I just stuck on chapter one. So I just want to point out how great I feel for writing a review on a website for a game after playing only chapter one and not playing multiplayer, which I made abundantly clear in the review. But I also pointed out, I gave three easy steps for becoming awesome like me and getting to the tippity top of a leaderboard. And I pointed out, here's the steps. Number one, choose your game. Number two, get them to give you a copy of the game early. And number three,
don't stop playing.
Be awesome.
You do.
And I said, if you really want to get to the top, well, you can't, because someone will always be there to beat you. But you can get to number two, and, live that life of disappointment that I live, which is to not be number one. So anyway, you should go read that article, and just in general, go to Golgatron.com to read what we have there.
Yeah, well,
new version of the website's coming, by the way, which is awesome. Right, Colin?
Right.
The new version?
I saw it.
Right?
You could always just say that the people ahead of you are cheating.
Yeah, but it's not. But I saw the video.
We've all played Counter-Strike. They're map hacking.
Yes. No. Anyway, so what do we have in store? We have like 1 minute before the break. We've got Adam Birch here. Are you going to talk about anything specific or just like be here to be awesome?
Specific, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, so yes.
And awesome. Yes. Specific and awesome.
Specifically
and
cool. Awesome.
And then sometimes awesome, unspecific and awesome.
And we'll just come up with something for you to read. And we should do the Street Fighter thing.
And sometimes
right
just
now,
awesome.
He's got the voice.
Yes!
And sometimes just unspecific.
But you've got like 3 minutes to prep that. Did you print it out?
I didn't.
No, but at least you have access to it.
Yes.
All right. First time Colin did something right.
And I'll have some specific and awesome things.
No, you don't have it?
No, it's on my other computer.
Oh, my God!
When we come back.
We'll be right back.
We are back.
Chatterbox.
Video game.
Colin.
Yo.
The cloud, sir. Do you know what the cloud is?
It's the thing Google's working on,
right? It's
not
the character in Final Fantasy VII. It's the thing where, like, you put stuff somewhere and you can get it elsewhere without having to have that first thing in front of you. I know you've heard of it.
Alon's fuse is very short tonight.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez.
It's just not a good show for me.
God.
It's just not a good show.
Just can't win.
I'm trying to give him a big send-off since this is his last episode.
Well, I got one more.
One more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully I will have more.
One more chance to be awesome.
I'll have to enhance my yelling for next episode.
Exactly. It's the trial run.
Okay. Good. Well, I'm glad you can appreciate that.
It's the hazing. You've begun the hazing phase of Chatterbox.
Right. Well, while I silence myself and breathe and count to 10, I will mention... I mean, prior to this breathing, I'll mention UAT.uh, UAT.edu, the website for the University of Events and Technology. You've been there, right, Adam? UAT, yes? No?
No.
Never been. No, never even been.
That's below Adam.
They do so many cool things. Okay. Anyway, University of Events and Technology, you should go there. Their website. You should go be a student because, like, they teach you how to do stuff that gets you in the industry and all that. We've all been there, other than you.
I haven't been there.
You've never been? No. Wait a minute. You've definitely been there. You've told me you're going there to give a talk or something.
No, different place.
No, different place.
They have magic cards.
All right, you guys are all losers. I have been there.
Collins.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know.
Never been.
Competitor.
Never, yeah. Never once.
Hey, if they ask me to, I'd be happy to.
Oh, my God, do I have some stories about Collins?
Yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah, wow.
I bet
you have some stories about Collins as well.
You never been?
To Collins College?
Not to Collins College.
I've been to UAT.
Sweet.
Okay, so in case anyone's wondering, if you'd like to call in, our phone number is 866-536-1100. Our phone lines are open now.
So what are we doing this show?
So what are we doing?
I talked about some Castlevania. Do you guys have questions about this fantastic this game, which is harmonious and
despairing? I'd like to hear your opinion on it. I mean, as you know, as some of our listeners may know,
as one of the top rated players worldwide.
I'm a huge Castlevania fan, so you may have to
I am one of the top 10.
Sign my T-shirt or something.
Can you look at Xbox Live leaderboards from the internet? From the old web.
I'm on it.
We're finding out
look
right
for
now.
It. Because I don't know where I am now. I was number 3 yesterday.
I mean, is it good? Is it really good?
It is good. And let me
explain to you.
Is it
better than Trials HD?
So I'm going to open this up by saying I haven't played probably the last 6 Castlevania games. At least not for more than 5 minutes.
Right.
But I do know that pretty much every Castlevania game to come since Symphony of the Night, which is the last decade, or 15 years even, has been essentially the same as Symphony of the Night.
It's kind of like Stallone's movies after Rocky.
Okay. I didn't really think of it that way. But anyway, they've pretty much all been that way, but I don't think there have been any multiplayer ones. I don't believe.
No,
for the DS they had one.
Not specifically.
Did they?
Yeah, it was the new one they just released. You could play co-op with your DS online. It was Portrait of Ruin, I think.
That would make some sense.
Perhaps a precursor.
Then you have to find
so is this? Is this? Let me ask you this:
yes.
Is it primarily multiplayer? Does it make sense as a single player game?
So yes and no. So I only played it single player because when there's only 100 people playing the game, it's really hard to find a multiplayer competitor or collaborator. So I would try, and there were no games running. Right,
and half of them are probably German anyway. So
yeah, they're probably all American actually. I don't know. Anyway, so I wanted to play. And couldn't multiplayer, so I play single player. Now, one of the things is you pause it, even in single player, if you pause it to bring up the menu or even go to the Xbox, you hit the guide button,
right?
It does not actually pause the game. The game continues. This makes me realize, they developed this game with multiplayer in mind because you don't go pausing a multiplayer game.
Right.
But on top of that, it's still got the old, it looks like a DS game. When you're zoomed in, which is how you play primarily.
It looked like they actually just literally lifted the exact assets from the DS game.
But now imagine zooming out of your DS version of this game so that you see the entire level map.
Yeah,
and
I
are still playing.
You can totally play it like that, huh?
Yeah, you
is
can
it,
play.
Is
zoomed
that how you like to play?
100%. No, but think about this: if you're collaborating with 5 other players in the world, you want to know where they are. So I want to be able to pinpoint them and say you get this, or you pull this lever to make this elevator go down, which is a really long elevator and not on your screen anymore, but I'm down there, or I can sit there and wait until someone comes there and pull the lever or whatever. And there's also some areas where, since I couldn't physically get to the area to get the treasure chest that was there, I'm guessing there's some sort of multiplayer collaboration that's required to get to it.
There's 4 people and there's 4 switches. We need to step on all of them.
And it wasn't that.
That's cooler than that. I'd be happy if it's
I'm actually just realizing now that one of the players has a specific power that the others don't have.
Gotcha.
That may be usable in that particular area. But I have to go back and try it. Ironically, it's the player that I use and just didn't know that she even had that power.
Things happen.
So I was like, when you hold this button down, she's got a ring around her. I don't know what that does. And then I found out watching someone else's player video that it totally lets you slingshot around levels. So
that's an interesting
that's a pretty
mechanic.
Awesome
that
feature.
All these
that would have been useful, right?
The replay feature is awesome, though, especially when you watch the top 10s.
It's not the first game that's done that. But yeah, it helps you learn how to be better. But the game is just, it's classic Castlevania, but multiplayer. And you can collaborate, or there's modes where you play against each other, I believe. But like, you can also get together with another person in the same physical space and do this move called the Dual Crush, where you... I haven't seen it.
I've done that before.
Yeah, it's in the DS versions.
Yeah, I did that a few days ago.
Okay, so I mentioned it. I was like, there might actually... Anyway, read the article that I wrote. I was like, I bet there is a multiplayer version. I just don't know it. Anyway, this Dual Crush move, yeah, you can totally work together to crush on people.
In a dualistic way.
Yes, but I haven't seen it because no one to play multiplayer with. I guess what I could have done is seen Das Alucard, and I'm sure he's playing it 24 hours a day, and said, hey, do you want to play multiplayer? But there was no invite. Like, you can't invite someone to the game because it's not, maybe because it's not available for everyone yet.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
The invite to game was grayed out, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's probably why. But I don't know. Maybe if I get it, then we can play. Yeah.
But so here's the thing. I haven't played the last 8 versions of Castlevania, so I don't know if a lot of the cool level experiencing things and all the weapons you can get. Yeah, right. But it has that cheesy stuff like you can get sunglasses that block out UV and enhance your defense by one.
Sounds
and, you know, you can get hobo's clothes and all these things with French words that I can't pronounce.
It just sounds just like Donosaur on Portrait of Ruin.
Right.
You get like a sweet like second weapons like pies and knives and stuff you can just throw.
You can have 2 standard attacks, you know, X and Y are 2 different attacks, which in the case of Shanoa, the girl that I use, means that you can attack with one sword and then instantly with another one, so you get like a double, like a 1-2 hit. Other characters don't have that. Alucard has this weird, like, bare knuckles punch that's really fast. But, I mean, you just end up replacing that with other weapons relatively quickly. But with Shanoa, I never replaced it, because I never got anything I could replace it with. Different characters have different, I want to say abilities, but, like, the guy with the whip, the one guy that has a whip... you end up getting a lot of secondary weapons for them. So, like, you know, like the knife and the grenade.
Yeah, that game has most ridiculous secondary weapons, like paper planes, pies, like skulls. You can just do anything.
Okay, this one is
game.
Not like that.
Oh, okay.
But
are you sure? It took forever to unlock those in Donosaro.
maybe later on.
Yeah.
But you also have magic. So, like, my girl could throw this triple fireball thing that goes, you know, forward, up, and down. And over time, that... you know, gets more powerful and whatever with experience, but you also can get other magical things. The thing is, I never did throughout my playing of the game, but when I watch the videos, it's clear that there's a lot more stuff you can do. And actually, I saw a video of the guy using Shanoa, and she had this, like, giant stone fist that basically punches, but something that's 5 times the size of the player character. So it wasn't just a little sword, it was this giant-ass fist. Anyway, I never got a lot of the things you could get, because like I said, I haven't played through the whole game, but I played a lot of that first level, and a whole lot of it.
So what's your, I'm going to force you now to distill your entire description of the game into one number out of 10.
Oh, I did that in the review, I can tell you. Yeah. I gave it an 8, because it's good, but it's still Castlevania, and Castlevania is never that good to be like 9 or 10.
Well, you know what, you know, Rocky movies aren't that good anymore either.
No, like, I can't think of how they could have made a better Castlevania game. I mean, I could probably speculate and do things that would totally change the gameplay. But, like, seems to be the perfected version of the Castlevania that we're used to, but with multiplayer and the ability to wear +1 defense sunglasses. So, that's cool, but, you know, it's still the same thing we've been doing for 15 years.
Yeah,
I need something new. I need something awesome.
Yeah, I know you
need
do.
The Hideo Kojima ones they're doing.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, that they just like announced that like it's so big that it can only be on 2 discs at least. And I'm like, really? Like, this is where you're going with this? Really? Like, this is going to be like an art fest of
it's
just
going
like
to,
production.
It's going to be terrible. Hot right now.
Yeah, I'm not pleased about it. It just seems like all their focus is on things that are not what the essence of Castlevania is. We'll be back.
I'm actually excited about that game. Sorry.
You'll be disappointed.
Doubtless.
And we'll still be back.
excited.
I am excited for this reason alone. In less than 2 weeks, Ara gets to tell me about the game he worked on.
Yes.
I've been nagging him
and perhaps,
every week.
Perhaps even other people will get to know.
Yeah, that would be awesome, too. But every week now, I've been like, so can you tell me about this game you've been working on? And no, like, that's it. That's all. I know he's been working on something. Rackin' is whatever you rack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Working
so
on a game.
A lot of things were racked on this project.
Yeah, for the past however long. And yeah.
It's about a year.
You were working some serious hours at the end of that project.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, when you really like doing something, right? I mean, there's no other way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, just do that all day long, every minute of the day.
Well, good. In 2 weeks, when Colin's no longer here, I will feel better about myself. I'll be picking up my tears with the towel of Ara's discussions.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yeah.
All right, so we want to go with Birch now.
Let's go with Birch now.
Unrelated to Anthony Birch, we should point out, by the way, because he's been on the show before as well.
Yes.
Different Birch.
I don't know if I confronted you about it, but I've confronted one of the Birches about it.
Yeah, you know, like three Birches now.
No familial claims have been made amongst any of them.
All right, so I will give you the mic, sir.
Oh, you'll give me the mic?
Yes,
because
I don't know why we have
it. I thought you said I won't give you the mic, and then
no.
I was like clenching my fists ready
for
a fight.
So for our listeners, I'll point out, 5 hours ago, Ara gives me a call. He's like, so hey, I forgot to mention we have a guest today. And it's like, it's Birch. I go, oh, that's cool. Right on. I don't know what he's going to do, but cool.
Okay, so let's do it now. Adam, why don't you tell us about this Ignite thing that you did? Tell us what Ignite is and what you did there, and we'll just go from there.
All right, so Ignite is kind of like, it was this local Phoenix event they're holding, and it's the way I like to describe it is like TED, you know, the technology education thingy that they do where they get like smart people to show up and talk about something.
Right.
But instead of having smart people, like they just let anybody show up.
It's just anyone?
Yes.
Yeah. And then you have this on, and you know, you just submit your talk online, and then through some mysterious judging process, you know, they accept you or they deny you. And I submitted two talks, a talk about God Hand and a talk about Shadow of the Colossus, and they accepted Shadow of the Colossus.
Now, do you have to give them the whole talk for them to evaluate, or just like, oh, I have an idea about this?
Yeah, you give them like a paragraph, and then like a paragraph about you. And
okay,
then
so you just have to summarize. You don't have to actually show
them. Yeah, no.
So if it's a game that they like, then they'll let you talk about it, maybe.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have to be a game. It can be, you know, absolutely anything.
Right. So these are... But if you want to talk about a game...
Yeah. If you want to talk about, you know, your shoes, you can do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I've actually been to a couple, and I'm pretty sure I brought up his very talk on this show soon after the talk. I didn't realize that that's what we were bringing Adam in for.
Yes.
But I've definitely mentioned it on the show before, referred to, you know, this guy who gave this talk about Shadow of Colossus. I'm pretty sure, anyway. I'm sure one of our listeners can point out whether or not that's true.
Right.
I have brought it up before.
So,
but Ignite Phoenix is definitely not full of smart people on the panel. But there are many, just not all of them. It's not required, and it's usually interesting.
Mm-hmm. And actually, your talk's, as we found out, available on YouTube.
Yes, it is available on YouTube along with all the other talks. And so you can see me talk very, very fast for 5 minutes because I want to get through the whole speech because there was a lot I wanted to talk about. And I didn't even get to wind up talking about everything. So, yeah.
But you know what the amazing thing is about you talking fast?
What?
I don't even know how to explain this, but it doesn't feel like it's rushed like the normal way people talk fast.
Yeah.
Maybe that's because your voice is like 8 octaves deeper than Barry White. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Well, here's the thing. It's not just fast. It was very excited. And I made this point to you.
Yeah,
I was like,
that's probably what it is, actually.
I was like, this kid was at Ignite Phoenix, and he's, you know, total, like, gorky, tall-looking nerd dude.
Pokey Walker in my pocket. It was hanging out of my pocket.
Yeah, right? Like, he's the classic, like, guy who we know plays a lot of video games and, like, the nerd dude who is there. Our audience. It's us.
And sends Barry White screaming like a girl.
Just significantly younger than us, right? But he's us, what, 12 years ago or something. And then he gets up on stage, and he was more charismatic than literally any of the other speakers. And I'm not trying to, like, give you lip service, but everyone enjoyed your talk, and there was a lot of boredom for the previous talks.
Yeah.
Yours was, one, like, the second to last or something.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, the way I had my talk kind of working out in my head, it wound up, like, working – pretty differently. Like, there was the audience laughed a lot more than I was probably originally intending, because, like, it's Shadow of the Colossus. There's not a lot that's funny about this game.
But it was you.
Yeah, they were
laughing at you,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, I just, and so, you know, I go backstage, you know, I'm like, I'm really panicking, because I'm like, oh, man, you know, nobody liked it. You know, they thought I was a joke.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, and then, like, literally one of the backstage guys comes up to me. He's like, dude, you were incredibly fantastic. I was like, you know, thanks, man, thanks. But then, like, I get on the audience, and everybody loves it. And then, you know, they're tweeting about it, and I'm like, oh, hey, this worked out.
it was very well done. So props to that. I'm glad that the video game one was the one that was well done.
Yeah. So tell us about it. I don't know if you want to go into actually what you talked about, or maybe something ancillarily related.
Well, what I did in my talk was kind of like, you know, a new games journalism kind of thing, where I just talked about my experience with the game. And I just, you know, ran through how I reacted emotionally to having to kill these, you know, majestic creatures for, you know, some chick in some temple that I don't even really know anything about. And it, that was a really, really effective game. So I just talked about that.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us more about what your impression of the game was and is now?
At the time, I had never played anything like it. I still haven't played anything like it. And it was what really convinced me that I had to do video games, like, as my career and as, like, my, you know, life choice, as it
were. Really? This singular game?
Yes, this singular game. Like, I knew I wanted to make games in the same sense that, like, you know, any, you know, teenager kind of wants to make games, because, you know, they played, you know, Mario back in the day. Like, yo, you know, video games, it's got to be, you know, totally sweet gig. And then, like, I play this, and I'm like, oh, holy cow, I have to do this. Like, I have to get on this bandwagon, and I have to make sure that this stuff winds up being, like, as awesome as it can be.
So if you could distill down the essence of the thing in that game was that sparked your imagination or your interest or whatever you want to call it, how would you describe that?
I would describe it as it made work engaging, because at the time I couldn't put a lot of things into words, but I read this really good article online at Insert Credit, which is, like, now this dead website, but it was really awesome back in the day.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
is it dead now? I haven't been there in forever, but I know some guys who worked on it.
Yeah, no, it's kind of dead now. Like, they had a funeral for it. I know some people, and they, uh-oh. Yeah. But,
it's because Sheffield left, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep, pretty much, yeah.
Okay. And so, yeah, and I read this article by Tim Rogers on it, and he described how, you know, the way the designer of the game kind of intended it to work was that each Colossus feels like work. Like, you are slowly climbing up this incredibly huge creature that is so much bigger than you, and it's so hard to kill.
It's intentionally work.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is amazing, because only Japanese developers will admit to this.
Yeah, and, like, the thing is, like, it's not like a grind, like something like, you know, Disgaea or something, where you're just putting in hours.
Right.
It's, you know, there's real, like, it's not the work of just hammering away at something. It's the work of building a machine slowly, or, you know, or in this case, dismantling a machine slowly. So it's
Yeah. This is interesting, because that idea, right, it's not really often expressed, but I think that a lot of games that have the Japanese sensibility, right, like, the reason why things are hard in games like that is because those designers, whether they were able to be to put it into words and be, you know, completely conscious of it or not, right? These things were about presenting you a challenge that, like you said, it took work to surmount. Like, this is, you're going to have to figure out some way through this, right? And the process of you actually figuring out how to do it, that journey, right, from one point to the other, from, you know, you have this obstacle to surmounting it, that took work, and, right, like, work in terms of effort, like you said, right?
Yeah.
And the sense of accomplishment that you get, right, from at the end of such a process is not something that you can experience without actually literally going through a period of struggle.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is I think actually, you know, we've touched on this before, right? But that really famous guy who has the long name, Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, who wrote the book Flow.
Oh yeah, that guy.
Right? Yeah, that guy. Right?
Yeah.
This is one of the things that he explains as being one of the essential components of flow, right? Which is you can't be in that type of state of mind without actually having gone through some struggle. And it really, you know, one of the things that really bothers me about the way games are going or trending toward just in general is that there seems to be a complete lack of acknowledgement that this is there, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about, just real quickly, and I'll give it back to you. If you think about, there's like the kinds of things you can experience in games, right? It's like certain things you can experience, they come at a cost. Yeah. You know, they come at a cost that you can only get to those emotional states by doing some other things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that's for, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, you look at, you know, some of the more modern games and it's all about making it as easy as possible where, you know, you have now dynamic difficulty where it's like, oh, it's too hard. So let's, you know, spawn less enemies or let's make it easier somehow, which, you know, like, you know, you're going for something different, but I think that we're going for it. Like we're just approaching it as if it's objectively better as opposed to merely another way of doing something different.
Right. And I think that a lot of those simplifications don't really account for the complexity of the issue.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, well, this is good. This is a good conversation. We'll continue this when we come back.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one.
And we're back once again. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Hey Adam.
Yes.
Can you say Chatterbox Video Game Radio?
Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, God. Yeah,
so why'd you guys cut him off?
We might have.
How am I supposed to slice that up now?
Can we get it one more time?
Say it more.
Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
There we go. That's the delay we needed. All right. That's good. So when I have when I needed a commercial drawn or something like that, we'll...
When we want to scare one of our guests, we'll just play that. Okay. So anyway.
I have something else I need him to say before we go on.
Yeah.
Can you say... University of Advancing Technology.
University of Advancing Technology.
Is where you should go! Actually, their website, at least. I don't expect you to actually go there simply on my recommendation, but you should go to their website and learn about, you know, the programs they have to offer. You've heard the commercials if you're listening live.
All right. So I know you wanted to talk about fighting games.
Yes.
So let's talk about fighting games.
I have been playing way too much Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 4.
Why don't you come hang out with us at the Golgatron thing, man? We play Street Fighter 4 like nonstop. We're supposed to be writing articles and having meetings.
Street Fighter 4.
And all we ever do is play Super Street Fighter 4. Yeah. I should have brought in my joystick if I knew that.
He likes joystick too. Yeah. Actually,
yeah, I just got one of the new Mad Catz TEs.
Yeah,
in the box that has the magnets on it. I'm keeping the box.
Right?
That box is so nice.
Now, I've got one of the special edition, like the Femme Fatale one from PAX last year.
Oh.
But I built my own. I built one that I'm very proud of. So I like to show that off to people who care.
Okay, now, I've been burning to ask you this question because before the show, you expressed to me how awesome God Hand is.
Yes, oh my God, it's
now,
so awesome.
Now,
everybody needs to buy it right now.
Right. PlayStation 2 God Hand, right?
So good.
Now,
yes.
I played it for like 5 minutes, as I told you, and I was like, "What the f is this s?" Right?
Yes. That was my first reaction
right.
too,
and
everyone else's, by the way.
And you told me you must play this game for a minimum of 1 hour
you even have a chance of beating the first level.
Right. Well, I took it as before you even have a chance of understanding what could be so good about it. But I'm hoping maybe you can describe to us. Seriously,
mm-hmm.
What makes this game so good? Why is it such an amazing game?
I thought we were
going
to talk about fighting games.
Well, God
this
Hand,
is a fighting game.
Well, it's
God Hand is not a fighting
it's
game.
It's a brawler.
It's a brawler. It
sounds like fighting to me.
They kind of have how they're intertwined with fighting games and brawlers. You know, is an interesting tale, especially if you're looking for yourself to Japanese brawlers. Of course, obviously, if you go to Western, where you're thinking the gauntlets and Diablo likes, you know. Okay, that first three gets a bit more murky, but
right.
Yeah, God Hand.
Now, nobody plays this game for the graphics.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh,
the
God.
Graphics
yeah,
suck.
Yeah, no. Well, It's like they suck, but then they kind of grow on you in a sense, in the same sense that like 8-bit...
Like a cyst.
Well, no, I mean, you know, 8-bit graphics, like if you really want to break it down, like, you know, those are kind of bad, but...
I did just spend a lot of time with Castlevania, Harmony of Despair.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it has its own unique charms, but the point of that game is just how... It's kind of like, the way I like to describe it is like, Bruce Lee once said that... when you're really into kung fu, when you really know what you're doing, everything...
When you're in the flow?
Yeah. When you're in the flow, you know, everything around you just makes sense. And when your opponent is hitting you, like, you know that they're hitting you, and you can see them hitting you without even, like, looking, and how it's all, like, it's all one, and it's all kind of together, and you are just have this total situational awareness, and, like, nothing is really surprising to you. And God Hand... is all about that. Like, you'll know you're good at God Hand when you can just, you know, put in the game, pick any, you know, random level, and you can just start going through it, and you might not be able to, like, I could not verbally explain to you, like, why I do all the random things that I do.
Okay.
But I have a buddy who can, you know, he can't explain all the things, but I can't. I know to do them, and that I know that if I don't do this, then I am effed up the A in this level.
It sounds like a super cracked out version of something like Devil May Cry, where you're just like fighting, or Bayonetta, where you're just fighting.
It's made by the same guy. It's made by the exact same guy who did Devil May Cry and Bayonetta.
Yeah, just like where you're killing a million enemies, and like you can't tell what's going on the screen unless you're the person in control of it. Like, there's just so much going on. The only way you can get your feedback is by your control and seeing what hits you.
I know what's going down before. Like, because there are all these small minor clues that, you know, the enemies give you, and that I know the level, so I know that this guy spawns around this corner, and then I know that the guy around the other corner is carrying this weapon that I need to knock out of his hand, so I need to knock him down.
Yeah, but let me jump in here. For a game to really be good, in my opinion anyway, it needs to be fun and interesting and have the elements that you're describing, like what brings you into the game.
Yeah.
Even when you're presented with a new level. So I shouldn't have to know the level, know that the guy's going to spawn here and how he acts to be able to be good at it and to be able to enjoy it.
He couldn't stand Demon's Souls.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What about Demon's Souls? I thought you had a positive opinion of Demon's Souls.
Well,
I don't know where you got that.
Yeah, level.
He had a negative opinion.
Yeah, I kind of
enjoyed Demon's Souls, but at the same time, I totally loathed it.
You enjoyed the fact that you were able to beat the first level before I did.
Oh, I enjoyed the fact that I was able to give a male character breasts.
I think I thought that some of ours love must have gone on to you, but then I was mistaken, I guess.
It was one of those things, like, I don't know why I'm playing this. This game isn't good, but I've sat here and played it for the last 3 hours. So I had to admit that there was apparently something appealing about it.
I think it was to beat me.
That was certainly one of the...
I have a quick question about God Hand before we get started. Yeah. Can you punch a man into the sky, into infinity? Like, I heard there was movement.
Yes,
like...
Yeah. Well, you can punch them with one move, but most people use the kick move that you can do it, where it's just you kick them once, and then you know how in Pokemon they would go way off in the sky and then get a little ding.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Awesome.
Yeah. And when you defeat an enemy with this move, they stay out in the sky, whereas if you don't, they literally just come flying back for no particular reason, and it's the funniest thing ever.
I like how you were able to draw an analogy between God Hand and Pokemon.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
This game is like, you know, it's so, you know, over the top, like old school anime influence, where like, you know, you've got Fist of the North Star. Like, the opening cutscene is literally lifted directly from Fist of the North Star. It's absurd, and there are a bunch of moves that are ripoffs of Fist of the North Star. So kind of going back to what you were saying about, you know, the levels, well, that's required for some level of mastery, you know, and certainly like, but you know, you don't need to master the game. Like, there are certain rule sets that you can build in your head once you have a knowledge of just the system that will get you through. Like, you know, obviously if you're trying to beat the game on hard without ever dying, like I'm trying to do right now, and it's not working out very well. But if you ever want to do that, like, yeah, you know, you need to know all the memory knowledge. But if you don't have that, and, you know, that does take a while to build up, that, you know, a lot of times a lot of people don't have, there is still such a rich system there that even if you were to, going back to kind of Tim Rogers, one of the ways he liked to put it is, you know of a good game when you can just put the game in, like, a box, and then you can just start throwing random objects at the player, or, you know, random enemies, And, you know, it'll be just this great game, this infinite mode that just goes on forever and ever and ever. And there are a couple levels in God Hand where that's all it is. Like, it's just dudes, and they're just spawning, and you just have to kill.
I love dudes.
Yeah, there's just dudes, and there's just...
Dudes, you know, after dudes.
Yeah, there's just dudes, and there's just, you know, chicks.
Right.
Like, that's all there is, and they're just spawning, and you have to fight them, and you have to kill them all.
So are you a bigger fan of God Hand than Bayonetta? Are those just two totally different comparisons?
Well, they are... totally different games, but I am going to say that I am much, much more in favor of God Hand, because while Bayonetta is wonderful, it does have a lot of insanely huge flaws, and there's a lot of, like, just incredibly...
Isn't Bayonetta just a bunch of button mashing?
I just had this long discussion on the internet.
I've never even played the game, so I don't know from experience. That was the impression I had from what I'd seen and heard.
Well, it's very... strategic button mashing is probably the best way to put it. Like, I had this really big argument with one of my friends on the internet, and he was like, you know, oh, dude, like, you know, this whole game, you know, it's just, you know, button mashing, you know, it's not all like Devil May Cry. I'm like, no. Because, you know, he was pointing out, like, all this stuff you can do. It's
well, maybe
they do have
strategic.
A mode that's just a one button.
Maybe one button mode is button mashing. But
oh, yeah, the one button mode. Well, yeah, if you're
but
just
going to... But this is interesting, because I haven't played enough of Bayonetta to really understand what the system's
here.
Like.
Yeah.
Right, but... What you guys are talking about actually really reminds me a lot of what Muramasa's like, which I mentioned briefly last week, where, yeah, you can still play competently if you button mash, because the system doesn't penalize you for pressing the button prematurely or with bad timing. As long as you press it at the right time to get the input out, you don't get penalized, right? But one thing I learned about Muramasa, right, and tell me if this is the same for this game, is that once you acclimate yourself to the mechanics of it, you start to learn the timings of the things, and you start to figure out that you don't need to be smashing the button all the time, and you actually start executing your moves a lot more efficiently.
Yeah, because what it is, it's like there's a direct, you know, pain cost to it, but what it is that it's kind of like, to use an economics term, an opportunity cost, where you're giving up something that you could have done maybe a little bit better with a little bit better timing for some more damage or better positioning or whatever. Yeah, exactly the same idea.
Well, that's the end of the show.
I guess so. Now, just real quickly, what I was impressed with Bayonetta was how they could put so much crap on the screen have actually some bare semblance of what's going on.
So I have a question for you, Adam, before we finish up. When are we going to play Super Street Fighter 4 again?
I'm on Xbox Live a lot, or I could come
down. No, this live crap.
Thank you. Yeah,
in person, thanks. We'll get you over to the Golgatron. Well, it's Saturday. Is there a Golgatron happening on Saturday?
I don't know, man. We'll figure it out, though. It'll probably be on Saturday.
All right. We'll get you down. Come hang.
Yeah, that'd be
cool.
Play
some Golgatron Street Fighter 4.
You guys got that new Blaze Blue? Because I'd also want to get in on that.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Oh,
sweet. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.